Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 25th chapter of Psalms we hear, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Grant us a faith that can rejoice in your love and your goodness, despite the dark moments that we find around us. These are difficult times in our world and our country, and we are grateful that you provide us the divine assurance of your enduring comfort through the most stressful times. As we live each day as your called servants who you have given the privilege to serve in this place, may we trust in your guidance in the decisions that we must make. In your holy name we pray. Amen."
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Prowse, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Franklin. Senator from Jefferson. Senator from Andrew. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate. First.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KRCG-TV and Missouri News Horizon have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Very good, Senator. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 5th, from the 14th.
Mr. President, I ask for a point of personal privilege.
Senator from the 14th will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Every day, our officers go in the line of duty to protect citizens. Today, this morning, we found out that there were three officers, two U.S. Marshals, and a police officer from the city of St. Louis that were shot today. Earlier in the week, the person who is accused of these shootings said before other people that he wanted to shoot a police officer. Not only did he shoot one police officer, but he shot three. Out of respect for the people who sacrifice their families and their lives every single day for our protection, I ask that we have a moment of respect.
We will have a moment of silence. Thank you. The senator from the 5th is on her feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have introduction of two sets of very special guests. Our honorary pages for the day who are sitting in the front are Miriam and Brandon Johnson. They are the beautiful children of Bill and Jill, Bob and Jill, and they are sitting, there they are, in the far corner. They are here for homeschool day, and I would certainly ask the Senate to welcome them.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from the 5th, and the two young people will be made pages for the day.
Let me see the other group.
Introductions. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have some guests from the Brenau School District. They are here for MSTA Day, and I'm not exactly sure where they are, but I'd like to welcome them to the Senate.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate. Introductions. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, I see a fine-looking group of students from Grant Elementary School with their parents. Grant Elementary is one of our wonderful elementary schools in the Columbia Public School System. They're here with their teachers, Lisa Shanker and Jim Steelman. And also in that class, although, did he go upstairs? Oh, he's up there with you. Jim Ertl in Senate Research, his son Ben is in that class.
He didn't want to stay up here.
A lot of us don't like to, but Mr. President, I'd ask that we make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests. Will the guests of the Senator from Boone please rise for recognition by the Senate? Introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent for introduction of special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my left and to your right in the upper gallery, we have a gathering of the women of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority from incorporated from the city of St. Louis. We also have members of the National Panhellenic Council from Lincoln University, Missouri State Coordinator for Alpha Kappa Alpha Central Region, and the President of the Gamma Omega Chapter, Terry Bascom, and also other chapters, Omicron Theta Omega, Ms. Yolanda Lockhart. I'd ask for the Senate to recognize them. They will be in the Capitol for the day.
Will all the guests of the Senator from the 5th please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Introductions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. That objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 23.
Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 23. The Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 23 be taken up for perfection.
As many as are the opinion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill number 23 be declared perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 4th. Senator, do you wish to move adoption of the Senate Committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute.
Senator from the 4th moves for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. Does any senator, do you care to explain the substitute, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President, the differences in the substitute as to what was introduced. The mayor of the city of St. Louis cannot force the police to do gun sting operations. They cannot be forced to lobby the General Assembly. It prohibits them from engaging in political activity. It obligates the city to fund the pension, the police pension, in accordance with the Supreme Court ruling. It emphasizes that the residency requirements of the officers will stay the same. It provides for a buy-in rate for benefits of slain officers and orphans. And the effective date is January of 2013, in case there's time needed to change the city charter. So with that, I move that the substitute be adopted.
You've heard the adoption motion from the Senator from the 4th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 8th.
I wish to inquire the bill sponsor.
Do you accept the inquiry, Senator?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, how many current cities
in the United States are not controlled by the local municipality?
To my knowledge, only St. Louis and Kansas City.
Okay. Would you think there'd be any objection if we added Kansas City to your bill here?
I have no idea.
You don't object, or?
I don't want Kansas City added to my bill, but.
Why is that? I mean, is this a local control bill, right?
You're
promoting local control with this, and I'm just kind of curious on why you wouldn't want to add the only other city in the nation that currently isn't controlled by the local municipality.
Well, the citizens of the city of St. Louis voted almost 70% for local control of the police department, a structure that's been in place for 150 years. To my knowledge, the citizens of Kansas City have not been asked. So I would defer to what the citizens vote. That's why we're put up here, to represent our constituents.
Absolutely. But if we're advocating on local control, I think we should do local control for the entire state. If there's two municipalities that currently don't have the control of their police departments, wouldn't you think it would be the right thing to do to advocate for total local control in the state instead of just maybe one half of the state?
That's entirely up to the citizens of Kansas City. They may be comfortable with the governor appointing a board of police commissioners for them.
Okay, so you think you're going to oppose my amendment if I offer it?
I will oppose your amendment if you offer it.
All right, Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator from the 8th.
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed.
Send it forward.
I ask the wavering of the reading, and we will not close on the amendment until it's been distributed.
Hearing no objection, there shall be a waiver of the reading.
Mr. President, I move for adoption.
Senator from the 8th moves for the adoption of the amendment. Do you care to explain the amendment, Senator?
All it does is add Kansas City to the current local control bill that's in front of the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 4th. Roll of reasoning, seek recognition.
Mr. President, I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Proceed.
The citizens of Kansas City have not been asked their opinion about this. This is about, my bill is about local control of the St. Louis Police Department. It's completely exclusive of Kansas City, and I would urge my fellow senators to vote against this amendment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 14th.
Of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Now, you asked the sponsor of this bill the number of cities in the country that do not have local control. And I remember hearing that Kansas City actually did have local control. I want to say in maybe 1920, I could be completely off base, but they went from having state control to local control, and the people of Kansas City saw all of this crime, a lot of things that raised the brows of the people of Kansas City, and they decided to once again give control back to the state. Why do you think that happened?
My understanding is there was a little bit of corruption, and they felt that underneath the state control they would be a situation where there wouldn't be as much corruption, and given, you know, pats on the back for the people that do favors for other people.
Now, I do remember an article. I didn't read it fully, but I remember an article in the Kansas City Star recently that
Senator
dealt with.
Three senators on the floor.
I would like to raise a point of order on the amendment.
State your point of order.
That the amendment doesn't fit into the title of my bill, into the scope of my bill.
The point of order shall be referred to the President pro tem of the Senate. Any desire to be heard on that motion? The Senator from the 8th.
Yeah, Mr. President, this bill is a local control bill. All my bill does is add Kansas City to that. I don't see how it could go beyond the scope of the underlying bill.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from the 14th.
I'd like to speak against the point of order. In Chapter 84, it specifically deals with local control. In Chapter 84, it also discusses Kansas City, and I think it would be fine, just good, to include this and do not approve the point.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? The senator from Jefferson.
Mr. President, I don't believe the point of order was timely. Two senators were engaged in debate at the time of the point of order.
Senator, a point of order can be raised at any time. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that point of order? Hearing none, shall be referred as it has been to the President pro tem. We shall stand at ease. Senate shall come to order. The senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a rule on the point of order. The point of order is well taken. The amendment is not germane to the subject of the underlying bill.
Point of order is well taken. We're on the inquiry from the senator from the 14th. Send the amendment back.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 14th.
A point of personal privilege.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I just found out that one of the police officers that I mentioned earlier just died, so I want to ask for a moment of silence.
The Senate will observe a moment of silence for the fallen police officer. Senator from the 14th.
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield. He does proceed.
We were talking earlier about what the Kansas City Star has been saying, and I told you that recently I saw an article that discussed local control. From your vantage point, because you're from that area, what can you tell me Oh, that was just ruled out of order.
What?
Was the amendment just ruled out of order?
Yes, it was ruled out of order.
Well, that is unfortunate.
I find interesting, being that this is a local control bill and my amendment didn't do anything more than to add Kansas City to local control. I understand that sometimes the titles are crafted in a way to prohibit amendments such as mine. It's disappointing to see that we have such a somebody is advocating for local control that's unwilling to have local control for both major municipalities or cities in the state of Missouri.
You know, I want to take a step backwards. Senator, you served in our U.S. military, correct?
I still do.
You still do. And have you gone overseas? How have you served us and people in our wonderful country?
I served in 2003, 2004 over in Iraq. I flew about 340 combat missions. I fly Chinook helicopters for the Army Reserves. And
did you ever witness any of your brethren get shot at and or killed?
Well, I was in the aircraft I was flying in twice. We were one time shot at by a missile, and another time we had a bullet hole through our aircraft. Other than that, direct combat, that was only two instances I ever knew of when I was over there that actually had direct contact with the enemy.
You know, I have several members of my family that have served in the U.S. military at one point or another. And I remember one specific time, it was really sad. I was actually at prayer breakfast with the senator from Polk. And I had just found out that my little cousin, Juan, who served in the military, was shot in the leg. And it was one of the most...
Get a little order in here and be respectful of the debate that's going on in the Senate.
It was one of the most hardest times that I had ever dealt with because my family member was shot and could have been killed when he was in Iraq. And when I think about all of the people who put their lives on the line every single day, I think about the respect that we should give to them. And wouldn't you agree to that?
Absolutely. People who put their lives on the line deserve respect.
And, you know, I think some of these people, you know, this is an issue that I'm going to raise later on, but I think some of the people that serve in St. Louis City in their police departments have served in the military as well. So not only are they giving to us once, but they're giving to us twice. And I'm concerned that everything that's related to their service, their insurance, all of that kind of stuff that is outlined in Chapter 84, I'm really nervous that some of that would go away. Would you want your pension to go away?
I would not. And, you know, speaking of that, on the current people that you're representing in St. Louis, the police are actually opposed to this bill. The one organization and one group of people that actually are impacted dramatically by this legislation don't want it.
Every single police agency, group, affiliation that I know of is against this legislation.
Why is that?
Every single one.
Why is that? What did they say? I mean, I wasn't in committee. I wasn't privy to the debate and the discussion and the testimony in committee. Can you tell us what?
Well, there are two issues. There are two issues that are at hand. One is the issue of governance, and the other issue is their livelihood after retirement. And you'll hear from another senator who has an issue with governance. In fact, there are several senators on this floor who have an issue with governance in the city of St. Louis. But I specifically have focused on what the language is in the substitute and what is actually in statute. And what I've seen is that the senator, the sponsor of this legislation, has tried to make efforts to put some of the language that is in statute into the substitute, but not fully. And that concerns me because when people are giving their lives every single day they leave home, they leave their wives, they leave their children, and they don't know if they're going to have the opportunity to come home. So there are three families that are really scared right now. Three families. There is one wife that just lost her husband. One wife. Now, anytime we lose a member of our family, especially when they're in public service, you know, these police officers, they're spit at, they're shot at, they're killed. These people are protecting us every single day. And so I don't know, you know, what the sponsor is trying to do here, but I know, as well as my family, I want to make sure that these individuals have all of the benefits that they deserve. And I would not ever, ever want to sacrifice their pension or anything that they have ever done for the gain of entities that are running low on their own general reserve. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I would say that, you know, I don't know what this bill has to do with their pensions per take. Is their pensions going to be rolled underneath the city? And
well, specifically, the section that I've been looking at for weeks now is 84.160. And that really is one of the most important sections of the bill. Now, the sponsor has made, I want to say, some genuine efforts to include some of those portions of that language in the bill, but I'm not sure if it's complete the way it should be. So I think at some point in time, we're going to have to call a spade a spade.
Okay.
And we're going to have to realize that there's a little bit more to this conversation than the term local control. You know, as Democrats, I'm going to get political here, but work with me. As Democrats, we used to always talk about the former President Bush, and he said, you know, we have to be compassionate conservatives. Well, that's a great phrase. As Democrats, we said, oh, compassionate conservative. Yeah, what does that really mean? Compassionate conservative as a Democrat would mean for us that, you know, the president did not want to help those who were the most vulnerable. For you guys, compassionate conservative meant what?
What? Compassionate conservative?
Yeah, that's
well, conservative is a big word that has many different meanings, and depending on what angle you're taking, you have a social conservative, you have a fiscal conservative. So
so local control could have many different meanings as well.
Absolutely.
Just like compassionate conservative.
But we go back down to local control. I'm a little offended that my amendment was not allowed to be taken under this bill. I mean, if we were truly for local control, wouldn't we want local control for an entire state?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, there are some issues that are at stake here, and that is the issue of governance and the issue of protecting people who have not only served our country, but serve our communities, our local communities. And so I think what people are looking for is an opportunity to really see if this language, if this substitute is going to provide the fullest opportunity for officers and retired officers to live the life that they worked hard for. You know, there's one thing that I haven't said yet. Did you know that police officers do not pay into Social Security?
I did not know that.
Yeah. They don't pay into Social Security. What they pay into is their pension. It's about 7% that they pay into their pension. And when I realized that, I said, oh my goodness, what if their pension is taken or misused for the general fund of St. Louis City? Now, currently, there's about $600 million that's in the coffers for the pension fund. $600 million that officers, past and present, have put money into so that they can live a happy, fruitful life after 30 years of service. Now, anytime...
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I ask for unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Mr. President, on my left and your right, I'd like to introduce Ed Richards, who is the state pachyderm president, and his wife, Pat. Would like
Let's make the guests of the senator from Saline feel welcome as they join us here in the Missouri Senate today. Senator from the 14th.
Anytime that these funds are taken from their true purpose and redelivered into a general revenue, do you think that that is honoring the people who have stood for us, who have helped us in times of need, who have sacrificed their lives and sacrificed their families?
I do not. I think that's a travesty if that was to happen. I think that obviously rating retirements for general revenue is never a good idea. Do you believe that that's going to happen if this bill passes?
You know, I do. The way that I'm reading it, I do. Again, as I said, the sponsor has made some minor efforts that I do believe are genuine to include certain provisions into this substitute. However, you know, going back to the term local control, when I was doing some research on this, there's a lot of control, local control right now. And there's the E&A board. The E&A board, for example, has not only the comptroller that sits on it, but the mayor and the president of the Board of Aldermen. And when they go through their budget process, like you and I, we have to go through the appropriations process, and the senator from Boone will, you know, help guide us to where we need to be, what we spend, what we don't spend. They do the same process at the E&A board. And you have three people who determine what the budget of the city is going to be. So it's a long process, actually. So you have the Board of Aldermen who are involved, and you know, they're asked, what do you want to spend money on? What don't you want to spend money on? And then the E&A board takes those suggestions and then says, nope, I don't think we're going to spend this much money. Let's spend a little bit less. Let's put a little bit more here. And then that goes back, and the aldermen in the city of St. Louis decide what is going to happen in the budget. And even after the Board of Aldermen decide or vote on how that money is going to be spent, even after that, guess what?
What?
The mayor still has line item veto.
Okay.
That sounds like local control.
I would agree.
So in the conversation, when we were in committee, we talked long and hard about the earnings tax. Are you familiar with the earnings tax? I know you guys had to vote on it.
We have it in Kansas City as well.
So what I found is that the earnings tax represents about 39% of the general revenue into the city of St. Louis. So when we are, or not we, but when the city of St. Louis is trying to decide how they're going to spend money, what they do essentially is look into their coffers, how much money they have, and then they're going to make judgments upon that. Now there's a big debate because they're going to have a vote on the earnings tax. And if the earnings tax is eliminated, guess what? That 39% that was going into the general revenue of St. Louis City is no longer there. Now, what I will point out, this is also interesting because we've been dealing with how we can cut at the state level.
Yes,
we've
been
dealing, I mean, it's a big deal. I think we're at $488 million in debt, and we're trying to balance our budget. But what I found fascinating is that there are several of the administrators and employees of the city of St. Louis that make over $100,000.
How many did you say?
Several. I want to say more than 20.
More than 20.
It in my notes right here somewhere. Let me just fish it out real quick.
Are those jobs ones that you work up to, or are they kind of politically
appointed?
No,
these are political appointee jobs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't have that option here. We actually all make the same thing. You know, it's fascinating because my constituents keep asking me, well, do you make more money when you go to Senate? I said, no, we don't make any more money, but we have one extra staff person. So they kind of think it's, you know, really crazy because we have more responsibility. And, of course, the population of our district has increased. Now, you remember, Senator, that you and I came in together.
I do.
We were in the same freshman class. I was so proud of you when you won your election because that was a surprise to everybody. But I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we're able to see you. So I'm looking for these costs.
Well, you want to talk about some... surprised to be here. My district is primarily made up of few municipalities, and I'm actually from the municipality that has the largest. So a lot of people didn't realize that just because you had a position of power down here, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go back home and be able to influence the voters, and that's what happened in our election.
Yeah, I think you did a great job.
Well, thank you.
And again, it is, whenever you see someone who you came in with, who goes across with you, it's an amazing thing. It really is. And so there are a lot of us who are from the House.
Uh-huh.
And even though we disagree on a lot of issues,
11 of us came in the freshman class from the House.
I know, and then
two new freshmen that were not members of the House.
And we're not going to hold it against them either because they're two fine men.
Absolutely.
So let me just tell you, I'm looking at a sheet here, and I'm not going to mention the names, but Director of Human Services, $109,000. Michael Holmes came from the, I want to say, the community college standpoint. $108,000. Attorney of the city, $108,000. Attorney manager, city councilor, $108,000, $108,000, $108,000, $107,000, $107,000, $106,000.
And all these are political appointees?
These are political appointees. $105,000, $105,000. Let's see. More, $104,000, $104,000, $103,000, $103,000. 102, 102, 101.
And how's the St. Louis budget? Is it balanced, or is it?
From what I hear, you know, this earnings tax is real, real important. That's what we're told.
And that's on the ballot in April?
That is in April, in the April election. And so what I'm told is that without this earnings tax, the city will just be in shambles. Well, you know, you and I, and everyone who's in this body, we've had to make cuts. We don't get the same mileage. We don't get the same per diem. We make less than the alderman in the city of St. Louis.
We make less than the
and
the
guess how many people
city
we
council
each serve.
In Kansas City as well.
And guess how many people we each serve.
We serve about 160, 170?
Yeah. 175,000 people you and I serve, and we make, what, $34,000.
I thought it was $34,900.
$35,900. And we're not political appointees. We actually have to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, as you and I have both experienced, that's just such a grueling process to go through all of that. You know, so when we consider the state budget,
mm-hmm.
as hard as these cuts may be, as hard as they may be, we still make them out of the best interest of the people. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. How many aldermen are in St. Louis?
There are 28 aldermen.
28. Now, I believe that there was another senator that had an amendment in committee that was supposed to take that down to like 14?
Yes. Actually, I supported that amendment.
And is that in this bill?
You know, it was in the bill. I think there's an amendment that's out there to take that out. You know, whenever that comes up, I would, you know, ask this body to vote against that amendment, because I really do think that the argument of governance is really important. Again, that's not the issue that I've been pressing upon.
Right. How many people do the aldermen each represent
now? Well, that's a good question. That's a real, real good question, because before the census outcome, it was guesstimated about 11 or 12,000 people per aldermanic district. About 11 or 12.
Does a district have two aldermen or just one?
Each district, each ward has one alderman.
Okay.
And there are 28 of them. Now, I'll tell you, 100 years ago, you know, we had just, what, 500,000 people that lived in the city of St. Louis? And according to the last census, you know, they're from 2000 numbers, their population in the city of St. Louis went down 8%.
Was that the only city in the state that went down?
That's what I heard.
I heard it was the
only city that went down. Now, this is what's, and I'm getting off subject here, but we can do that in the Senate, I hear. Now, what's interesting about that, you know, I worked for the former lieutenant governor a while ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Actually, about 10, 11 years ago, I worked for the former lieutenant governor, and it was such a pleasure to work for him. But what I found out, because the lieutenant governor serves not only on the executive board, but executive branch, but also...
Hold that thought.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from the first.
Unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, senator proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some very good friends from the 1st District, and I think it's appropriate to introduce them at this time because of the bill that we're debating. We have Joe and Tracy Clark and their family on your right and my left, Mr. President, with their children, Jenna, Sarah, Luke, and Grace. And Joe is a detective with the St. Louis County Police Department. And if the body could make them feel very welcome today, Mr. President, I appreciate it.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from the 1st feel very welcome as they join us in the Senate today. Senator from the 14th.
So, you know, I appreciate the Senator from the 1st, but I completely forgot where I was. I guess that's an element of that rule.
Yes. I don't.
So, here's what's interesting. So, the Lieutenant Governor not only serves in the executive branch, but the Lieutenant Governor serves in the legislative branch. And on the executive side, you know, I served as the Director of Boards and Commissions. It was really a great job. So you have MHDC, which is the Housing Commission. You have MDFB. You have a host of senior commissions that are out there. But what I found fascinating is that there was an enormous amount of money that went to the City of St. Louis for bonds, for tax credits, the old post office deal, I remember that. I was a staffer for that. I was a staffer for the baseball stadium when that came up. You know, a lot of interests, corporate interests, wanted to use state money to go into St. Louis City to revitalize, to make sure people live in the downtown area of St. Louis City. So, let's fast forward 10 years. 8% drop in population. 8%. And St. Charles blew up by, I don't know, but I know that the senator from St. Charles is very excited about that population increase.
Was that, would that be the senior senator or the junior senator?
That would be the senior citizen.
Okay.
Or senior senator. And so, you know, people are going to have to deal with that. You know, how much money are we really going to spend to increase the population? How much money? And that's the question. That's been the argument for 10 years.
Over that 10 years, as the population decreased by 8%, the Board of Aldermen held steady. It didn't decrease
the number. It didn't decrease at all.
What about salaries?
Salaries increased.
Really? How much?
Yeah.
Do you have an idea how much they increased?
I think it's like 37. It's about to go up with this next election. You know, I'm looking at these the appointed positions. It's just really, we're having to cut here. I'm having to tell my citizenry that they can't get the same benefits that they used to get. And, you know, our municipality that I live in, they're having to make cuts too. So, and you know what? Even, you know, I serve on the school board, right?
I did not know that.
Guess what? Now, a few of us who are on the education committee, they didn't believe when I said this. I actually asked for a 10% cut across the board. 10% cut.
When you were on the school board?
No, now. I am on the school board right now. But I asked for a 10% cut across the board so that we would not spend as much money. Now, that's conservative. That's living within your means.
Did that pass?
You know, no. No. Even though I'm a, you know, a fiery liberal, you know, I do have some issues that
I'm a little conservative. Principles?
Yeah, just a few. Not too many, but a few.
I will tell you that Missourians are a strong conservative when it comes to fiscal responsibility.
Well, I hope
if you look
you don't
at the sales taxes, and in particular ones on the roads, they have failed to raise sales tax for roads and other things, tobacco tax, over the last couple decades.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Missourians want us to be fiscal responsible.
I think so. And so every single governmental body has to make an all-out effort. I know they did a furlough. Let's do more furloughs. You know, seriously. Let's take some of these holidays unpaid. You know, I think that's the right way to go. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know, and I think this week later on we'll be discussing the supplemental budget, and then I know that the House is working on the current next year's budget. So we've got some long talks ahead of us on how we're going to be spending the state's resources.
We really do, but don't you think that we really just want to have an environment that... I'm at the point right now where I want to change the mindsets of some of these entities that are serving in governmental bodies, because as I explained last week, you know, a lot of these folks just think that money just falls out of the sky, and it doesn't. You know, it really does not. And so if there was a mandatory...
That's from taxpayers. I mean, people back home have to write those checks, whether it be earnings tax or income tax at the end of the year. And we're in tax season. In fact, I filed my taxes just the other day because my son is going to college next year, and we had to get that report in so that we can apply for, you know, I don't think I'm going to get any financial aid for my son for college, but in order for scholarships, you have to fill out this thing called FAFSA.
Yes.
And so we had to get our taxes done to get that done. So,
you know, if there was an effort, and, you know, when people are talking about funding to different entities, private entities, let's say, they want to see a measurement. They want to see an action where you can, that this entity that is asking for money has gone all out to try to conserve more dollars. I mean, they want nonprofits now to join together to show that you're trying to consolidate, to show you're trying to spend less money, and then there will be a benefit money that will go to these entities. So I guess what I'm looking for, seriously, is like other issues, other ways that the city of St. Louis has tried to reduce the cost, their overall cost. And I know they did the furlough, but I'm not sure how else they're doing it. Now, here's an interesting fact. When I was preparing for this bill to be heard in the House committee, one of the things that I found is that I did the search. I had the wonderful librarian, Hilda, who's absolutely excellent. You should go to her sometime. But Hilda, I had her to look up all of the articles that have not only the mayor in it, but also cross-reference that with the earnings tax. Because I was looking specifically for the times that the mayor between December 24th, 2009, and November 3rd of 2010, the number of times he actually came out and spoke against the elimination of the earnings tax. And guess what I found?
What'd you find?
In almost a year, there are only nine times, where there was either a direct quote or indirect quote that dealt with the mayor opposing the earnings tax. Now, that's something else. What do you think? Now, if this is big revenue now, this is 39%. This is big time.
But
nine times. Now, I'm telling you.
If this earnings tax goes away, how does the city of St. Louis going to fund the government?
I don't know, but it's all related. It's all related.
What do you mean it's all related?
Well,
tell me somebody from the other side that tried to offer a simple amendment that got rejected.
Someone from the other side, the lower chamber where we used to be, someone from the other
side
said to one of our members, why in the world are you talking about the earnings tax? Why are you talking about the earnings tax? The earnings tax is important. The earnings tax is so important because it funds a huge portion of the general revenue, huge portion. And so without that, there would have to be cuts all over the place. And I just wanted to let the body know that the report that the U.S. Marshal passed away actually is not true. Luckily, this U.S. Marshal, not luckily, but the U.S. Marshal is in critical condition, and I hope that we can all keep his family and his life in mind right now. You know, it's really difficult again, as I stated before, when we have an individual, people who put their lives on the line every single day, who are spit at, who are threatened, who are shot at, and we cannot ensure that they're going to have a wonderful life after retirement. It really just scares me. So I take this matter very seriously, as do others. You know, I want to thank you for your time that you have served in the military. And I want to thank you also for your time in this body and in the House. Because what people don't know, even though we're not putting our lives on the line every day, what we are doing as senators and as legislators is we are putting a timeout on our family life. And the hardest thing to do every single week, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, the hardest thing to do every single week is to drive up here knowing that I am not going to spend time with my family.
I have two boys at home, and I will tell you.
Three senators on the floor, the senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask for unanimous consent to introduce some special guests here today.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
To my left and your right, I'd like to introduce Janice Stewart and Tom Wilsden from St. Louis County. These are two of the champion members of our central committee and a big part of making the grassroots process work in the county and in the city of St. Louis. I'd ask that the Senate welcome them here this morning.
Let's make our friends from St. Louis County feel welcome as they join us here in the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 14th.
Thank you.
You asked me about my family.
I'm just thanking you because you have two children. I don't have children. I have a beautiful little cousin who's 7 years old. She's in my school district. And every time I see Raina, every time I see her, I think about all of the opportunities that I have to be in her life. And, you know, I don't want someday I look around and she's 16 years old and I'm regretting time that I did not spend with her. It's a sacrifice for us, but it's a bigger sacrifice for those officers who are on the line every day. And I'll tell you what, those family members, I'm telling you, they're on pins and needles every single day. So thank you very much for this inquiry. I look forward to conversation that comes later. And just thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the first was first on his feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
The senator from Buchanan is not in the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms shall summon the senator. The senator from Buchanan, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from the first?
Yes, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Not that I really wanted to delay the Senate and use up their time by, you know, waiting for your arrival, but I would imagine that, you know, that we'll be using a lot of time this afternoon as time goes on, you know, as we discuss this important piece of legislation.
Yes.
The reason I wanted to inquire of you, Senator, is because we've had discussions through the process. You sat on the committee that actually heard the senator from the fourth's bill. Is that correct?
Yes, I did, and I have to say that the senator from the fourth has done a yeoman's job of putting this bill together, and he deserves a lot of credit for all of his hard work.
Was the bill amended at all in committee?
Yes, it had one amendment, and it was my amendment. And what it did was it added the Section B at the end of the bill. And that bill says that the bill will take effect once the reviser of statutes once the city of St. Louis informs the reviser of statutes that they've changed their charter from 28 aldermen down to 14 with two per ward.
Okay, so your amendment would have made it a requirement for the city to take steps to reform its governance. We've talked about that to a certain extent this morning with the senators that have been discussing the bill, that governance is one of the concerns of myself and others within this body, and I take it that was one of your concerns.
It absolutely was. It was one of my concerns.
Okay. And your amendment simply took the size of the Board of Aldermen from its current 28 to 14?
With two per ward, yes.
With so you took the 28 wards then to how
and
many wards?
There would be seven wards. It would be implied that there would be seven wards. Two per ward makes 14.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other changes to the governance?
I don't believe so. And the bill was voted out of committee.
And it was voted out of committee with any assurances that that change would stay on the bill when it hit the Senate floor?
I simply extracted a gentleman's promise from the senator from the fourth that he would not offer up a Senate floor substitute that took that provision out.
Is that provision in the Senate floor sub?
He hasn't offered up a floor sub, so no. I mean, that it isn't a factor because he's kept his word. And he has not offered up a floor sub.
Okay,
so we're
in the current the bill that's in front of us is the committee substitute.
That's correct.
All right. And where's your language?
It's at the very end of the bill, and it's Section B.
Okay, I see. Okay.
You know, I just didn't want my work in committee to be for nothing, have a floor sub offered up that didn't have that in there. I mean, if we're going to do the work in committee, I mean, if I'm going to vote for the bill to get it out of committee, I just kind of wanted my work to
certainly.
You know, come.
And Senator, let's expand a little bit about what your thought process was as far as. Amending the original bill to add your language here. I mean, what is your thought process as far as the current governance and why they should show some good faith as far as changing the way the city is governed before they get more responsibility and more control? I mean, you want to just elaborate
sure,
on that a little bit?
Sure, I would be glad to. First of all, Senator, This is relating to a city that's 300 miles from my home. I don't have a dog in this fight. So I felt that I listened to the...
Hey, you know what? Hold that thought a second as far as having a dog in the fight. You know, the city of St. Louis is the economic engine. The region of St. Louis is the economic engine of this state. It's an overwhelming number of the revenues that come into our...
That's correct.
You know, our general revenue, you know, through taxes, come from that region. So the idea that because you don't live in St. Louis or you live 300 miles away from St. Louis and you don't have a... I think everybody in this body's got a dog in this fight.
That's right. But what I'm trying to say is that I personally don't deal with the police of the city of St. Louis
right.
on a regular basis like people who live there do. That's what I meant by
Yeah, neither do any of the rest of us in here because it's done through a actual commission that runs the local police department.
Right. I mean,
and
I'm
actually a local board made up of St. Louis citizens.
I don't pay taxes in the city of St. Louis to pay for their wages nor their pensions, and I'm not very likely to get pulled over by the police officers nor interact with them on a regular basis.
Right.
That's what I meant by that.
I see.
I listened carefully to all the testimony and, you know, from both sides, and it seemed to me reasonable that the city wants to have control of their police department, and the opponents basically were the police who were concerned about their pensions, but they had another concern that has not been very much talked about in the press. In fact, I'm amazed that it really hasn't been talked about in the press, and that is the dysfunctionality of the city of St. Louis. And, you know, I've had a stream of people lobbying me come into my office, especially during that period of time when that bill was before the committee. And it is amazing to me the number of people who expressed concern that bad things would happen should the city of St. Louis gain control of their own police department. And it was centered around, you know, the abuses of aldermanic courtesy and the possibility that putting the police under the control of the, you know, the city would increase the amount of corruption that is seen involving the police. And quite frankly, some people were concerned that it would make it more difficult on the citizens of St. Louis and that they, you know, would have to deal with these increased problems. And, you know, when I was in the committee hearing, it was amazing to me because there was a police officer who testified in the committee, and I asked him, you know, do you see problems that occur in this area? And he said, oh, yes, I do see problems. And I asked him to give me an example. And he basically related a story where he was called to the scene of a commotion, and he went up to a street vendor there and asked to see the street vendor, to see his license to be there. And the street vendor, who was part of the commotion, produced the business card of one of the city of St. Louis aldermen, held it up and said, I paid my fee to this guy. I mean, and I was frankly astounded that he told that story.
That's stunning.
It was stunning to me. And so stunning that the fact that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch didn't report on it was amazing to me. Here was a police officer describing a specific case of pure corruption and did not report on it. Now, the thing is, I asked him, so what did you do? And he said he turned that information over to his superior. And I asked him if anything ever came of that. And he said, no, never heard a word. Well, it seems obvious to me that if you have turned over specific information regarding something like that, they would come and quiz you down about it if you were a police officer. And he said that nothing happened. And so then I asked him the follow-up question, do you hear stories like this from your fellow police officers? And he said, oh, yeah, he does. And, you know, I was floored by that. And it was confirmatory to me in open session of our committee of the other stories that had been told to me privately in my office by that string of people testifying. And so I guess I thought to myself, you know, I really believe that I want to give local control to the city of St. Louis. I don't want to hold up the bill. But I want to do something. I want to make an effort, even if it's just, you know, on the surface, just a trivial effort, to do something to fix this problem that so many people are concerned about. And let me tell you, they are concerned. This is the big elephant in the room that nobody talks about, is the dysfunction of the city of St. Louis, of their, whatever it is, governance, structure. And so I talked to some various people, and one of them was you, and asked, what could we do to make the people who are concerned about this feel a little bit better about giving the city local control? Because I really do think they ought to have it myself. And what I was told was, well, you need to attack the structure of the city of St. Louis. So I offered up this amendment, and it passed, and it was put on the bill, and all it would do would be to lower the number of aldermen and make it two per ward, so you wouldn't have each individual alderman having his own little fiefdom, which is a word that other people used with me. And that doing that, that simple little thing, would tend to, you know, beat down the problem that they were seeing.
And I want to talk further about that, but to the point of what you're trying to do with your amendment, all right, that you put on in committee.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we've got the numbers correct. And I think this is interesting for the body to hear. In 1950, the population of the city of St. Louis was 856,796. All right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, it's 319,294. And as I believe the senator from the 14th mentioned earlier, that's an 8.3% decrease.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last census. Wow. So, you know, I think that timing-wise, that your amendment to address the size of the Board of Aldermen is very timely.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't really care that it be 14 and two per ward. You know, it could be 18. It could be something different. It could be whatever the city of St. Louis wants, as long as it's a significant change. And I thought by just putting a starter into the bill,
right,
it could be amended, you know,
right,
to whatever was more reasonable. But I just felt that we need to do something, because, I mean, I was hearing stories about aldermen crossing police lines and neighborhoods where the police were being asked to patrol the neighborhood only between, you know, only hours outside of, say, midnight to 3 a.m., you know, just things like that.
Yeah.
And then then you hear all these other related stories about bad things that go on. And I just thought, okay, I feel much better about it if I do this.
Well, and again, Senator, I don't want to put, you know, all the onus on the Board of Aldermen. I mean, are you familiar with the concept of the form of government or governance within a charter city that affords like you have a mayoral position that is a weak mayor versus a strong mayor. And it's not really talking about the individual in that office, you know, or imputing the mayor at the current time in any certain light. It's talking about just the structure of the government where that position, the executive's position, is weak just because of the amount of control and power he has.
Right.
Okay. So although I appreciate and like where you're going with your amendment, I don't think it goes far enough. I don't think it goes far enough in the area of the aldermen, the Board of Aldermen. I don't think it goes far enough as far as giving the mayor more authority and power.
Well, Senator,
and control.
Let me just say that I don't care if there's somebody that has a better idea about what change would help make people more comfortable with this. It doesn't matter to me. I put this on to get this debate started because this is the true debate. You know, I think that the senator from the 4th has done a great job of addressing the other related concerns, the pensions, the worries that the police department had that made them not want to have local control. I think he's done a great job of that. And, you know, you can debate those things. But this is the true concern that, you know, people really, that gets their heart rate up, you know?
Right.
This is the true thing. And this is, I mean, I believe after having heard this testimony and talked to these people, that the city of St. Louis really ought to do something about its problem of perception. Maybe it's not a real problem, maybe it is, but they sure as heck have a perceptual problem, and they ought to do something about it. Because, you know, before you go and unleash the armed force of the city of St. Louis, you ought to at least make sure that the citizens are comfortable with what's happening.
Right, right. Senator, thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Mr. President?
Senator from the first.
Mr. President, I have a substitute.
Send your substitute forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. It has been distributed. And I would move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. You've moved for the adoption of the substitute. Would you care to explain the substitute, Senator?
I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, do you yield?
I do yield.
She does.
I did move for the adoption, yes. Yes. Thank you, Senator, for yielding. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I've just introduced a substitute to the Senator from the 4th's underlying bill. And what it would do is a number of things. And in particular, it addresses the governance of the city of St. Louis and allows for mayor and the Board of Aldermen to establish a commission locally and to have all that power, in essence, to control and have local control of the police department. But what my substitute does, where the senator from the 4th failed to do, was address this 800-pound gorilla or elephant, as the senator from Buchanan was talking about, as far as some of the systemic problems
that
we have in the city of St. Louis as far as its governance.
I know that you and the senator from Buchanan have had a long, long concern about the governance issue.
Yes, and again, what this would do is really empower the mayor. I mean, give the mayor, more control. And I think that that's one of the things, you know, he's kind of fighting a battle with one arm, almost two arms tied behind his back, you know. And I was really surprised that all the special interests that are involved in this issue right now, that what they're trying to sell to this body is that if we give St. Louis City local control of their police department, it's going to solve all their ills. Have you gotten kind of that idea that that's, if we do this first, we're going to be able to solve all of the other problems that we have in the city of St. Louis?
I kind of get that point. And, you know, they've also had, the proponents of this measure have also had a lot of local control over the media. And I wanted to give you a story, if you don't mind.
Sure. I love stories.
So the senator from Cole and I had a long discussion a while back. About 10 years ago, my cousin who works in state government came to me and he said that he'd just been at the Kirkpatrick building. And he was looking in some census records and found that his third great-grandmother, my fourth great-grandmother, was right across the river and was in the census as a domestic servant, right where Holt Summit is. And I'm telling this long story, but work with me a little bit on this. So I think that in this conversation, you actually started on the wrong footing. I think we should be on balanced footing in this conversation. A lot of the proponents have talked about the Civil War. You know, and when I saw that census record from 1870 of my fourth great-grandmother, you know, I thought about the fact that she was in slavery right across the river. So when I was talking to the senator from Cole, I asked him to, you know, find out some things about the Underground Railroad, because one of the previous senators from Cole talked about the Underground Railroad. And then one of my good buddies, we were talking about that. So it's fascinating to know that the county, the Kingdom of Callaway, as it was known, had the largest proportion of slaves, and they used the river to move slaves to Callaway County and to other places. But Callaway County was very significant because it had the largest number of slaves. Now, when I talked to the former senator from Cole and the current senator from Cole, it came out of our combined conversations that the Underground Railroad was on this side of the river. And when I spoke to my predecessor, she said that she once took a tour of some homes that were part of the Underground Railroad. It's amazing, when we cross that river, when we come in from St. Louis County, we go from the Kingdom of Callaway, where my fourth great-grandmother did not have the ability to have personal control, let alone local control. And across the river, where our beautiful historic capital is the place where people like my fourth great-grandmother were able to come and free themselves out of slavery. And there were people on this side of the river who were willing to lodge these individuals in their homes. You know what's fascinating about this story, Senator, is that, and this is a whole different stream of my family, my fourth great-grandmother was a slave in 1870. She was recorded as a domestic servant. She had two children. And, you know, the line of my family is very interesting because there's black, there's Puerto Rican, there's all of that combined. Guess what her name was?
What?
Maria.
Ah.
Maria.
So you're her namesake?
No, we didn't know this.
Oh, you didn't know?
I'm named Maria because, obviously, the Hispanic side of my family. But I think about the lack of control that she had. She had no control. She had no voice. And four generations later, there is a person in this body called Maria. So I think, because we have not had the opportunity to have local control over this message in the media, let's bring local control of this conversation to this body. Wouldn't you agree?
I was wondering where you're going. I got there now.
I just wanted to have that voice.
Yeah, good. And you are that voice.
That Maria voice.
Right.
Because we control this body. We do. The 34 senators and, of course, our wonderful person who stands before us every day. But your point is that you are looking for governance.
Yes.
You are looking for better governance. I just wanted to give that story because this conversation started out as one dealing with the Civil War. So since we're talking about the Civil War, I wanted to talk about slavery, you know, because we have to be on equal footing. And I know a lot of people sometimes cringe when you talk about that, but the history of our state, the way that we have evolved into who we are and what we are today is amazing. And it's amazing.
Three senators on the floor, the senator from the 13th.
Seek unanimous consent of the entire Senate for introduction of special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
In the upper rear gallery, we have students from Florissant, Missouri, the Robin Wood Elementary School, fourth grade. We have with them the principal, Miss McDaniel, several teachers, Ms. Scurry, Mrs. Wineland, and 27 parents. In the front here, we have three pages, Jaquela Ray, Emily Signego, and Jamar Hinton. I ask that those students and parents from the Robin Wood Elementary School to stand up, and I ask all of my colleagues to please make them welcome.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from the 13th feel welcome as they join us here today. Senator from the 1st. Senator. Three senators on the floor. The Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Mr. President, I'd like to take a moment to introduce two of my interns for this session. They're up in the upper gallery. Please stand. The first is Tekla Spainhauer. Tekla is a product of homeschooling, I'm proud to say. She has served as an intern in the House for the last 3 years, and she currently splits time between my office and an office in the House. She is the granddaughter of Jim Spainhauer, a former state rep and state treasurer. Tekla will begin college this fall. My second intern is Andrew Shear. Andrew is a 2009 graduate of Parkway Central High School in Chesterfield. He's completing his second year at the University of Missouri and is enrolled in the Missouri Law Scholars Program. Will receive an undergraduate business degree in finance and law. Andrew serves as an alumni chair for his fraternity, Alpha Epsilon Pi, and is an active member of Delta Sigma Pi business fraternity. I am so honored and thrilled and really just so blessed to have these two young interns on my staff this session.
Let's make the guests and the interns from the Senator from the 24th feel welcome as they join us here today. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you. Where were we, Senator from the 14th?
I was hoping you would know that.
Oh, that I would know? Well, you know, I was going to address a laundry list that I had here.
Dealing with governance. Your issue is governance.
Right. And this is a list this from the state auditor that over numerous audits have discovered failures in the following areas of the city governance in the city of St. Louis: Department of Parks and Recreation and Forestry, Department of Health, Office of the Mayor, Office of the Sheriff, Department of Public Utilities, Office of the Circuit Attorney, Office of the Recorder of Deeds, Office of the Public Administrator, Department of Public Safety, Office of the License Collector, Department of Streets, Officer of the Collector of Revenue, Office of the Treasurer, and so on and so forth. You know, the point that I made earlier, Senator, is that I think that there are a multitude of problems that need to be addressed in the city of St. Louis. Interesting, I was on a radio program last week in St. Louis, and a former commissioner on the police board actually said on that program that he believes this is one of the issues that needs to be addressed, that is, local control for the city of St. Louis. But he says it's about 9th or 10th on the list. You know, so my point has always been, for us to address this and not address anything else, it's giving to a dysfunctional institution more authority and more control without addressing any other fixes. And I think that's what my substitute would do. I'm going to inquire of the senator from the 4th, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President?
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire of the senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th, you yielded the inquiry.
Yes, I do.
He does proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Senator, you just mentioned to me that that you would take my substitute.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. You are comfortable in going in this direction, and you agree that this is the way to address this problem?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, explain to me why you're willing to take my substitute.
I am willing to take your substitute to keep the legislative process moving. We seem to be stuck about things that aren't related to local control of St. Louis Police Department.
Okay. So what you're saying is, in order to keep it moving, it would go through this process and then go back to the House, right? And then I guess they would have a conference on the bill, right?
Well,
let's walk through the process because if it would come back without my provisions of my substitute, you know, then it would come before this body again, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, whether we filibuster it today and tomorrow and through the month and through the rest of the session in its current form without my substitute now, or we do it if it came back from the House in the same condition that it is currently, I guess makes no difference to me. But so what you're saying is that you don't accept my premise that we need to have these changes along with the ability of getting local control. You just want to keep the bill moving through the process.
That's exactly my point. I think we're spending a lot of time here discussing issues that don't pertain to the objective of my bill. So I'll take your sub, and we'll let the bill go through the legislative process. And very rarely does a bill leave committee turn out to be the same bill that we pass into law. So
sure.
I'm more than willing to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Senator from the 1st.
I close.
Well, does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute offered by the senator from the 1st? The senator from Jefferson was on his feet.
To inquire the maker of the substitute.
Senator from the 1st, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I was looking at the underlying bill, and there's a section in here that I think is unrelated to the issue, and it deals with how they're involved politically.
Senator from Jefferson.
Before the inquiry, I would ask unanimous consent to introduce some guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator proceed.
We have up in the upper gallery the senator from St. Francis's alma mater, the Festus Tigers. And about this time every year, the senator from St. Francis sings the Festus Tiger fight song. It makes the Secretary of the Senate uncomfortable, but it's a tradition I'd like to see continue. That was probably out of order. But if we could get the Senate and all the other people in the upper gallery to recognize the fine school of Festus High School in Festus, Missouri, I'd appreciate it.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from Jefferson and the senator from St. Francois as they join us here today in the Senate. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you.
I strike that. Senator from Jefferson.
Thank you. And I saw in the underlying bill...
Where are you?
There's a lot of prohibitions. Well, I was actually looking at the Cliff Notes version.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It always concerns me when we tell people that they can't be involved politically. Do we do the same for trial attorneys? Do we do the same for teachers? There's been quite a few teachers up here today.
I wish we'd do it for trial attorneys.
Well, I feel uncomfortable when we do it at all.
So do I.
And your bill, it looks like you mirror that language. If we do this for firefighters or doctors or anybody that's wanting to get their view across, when we limit that ability, it concerns me. We tried this a couple years ago with the Highway Commission. And my question then was, could my father campaign for his son? Could he write me a contribution? Could he put my bumper sticker on his car? Could he put a sign in the yard? And there's unintended consequences when we start doing things like this. And maybe you just took the underlying bill and kept that language, but there are some concerning things. And there are some issues, though, where, you know, you can't do it. You can't be involved politically in your police
in
uniform,
yeah,
in your vehicle, at the polling places in uniform. But if they're off duty, they ought to be able to be involved politically and voice their views just like everybody else.
I agree, Senator. And if we need to offer an amendment to...
Why don't we, before we close on this, I'm going to find the sections that that affect. But I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't read the bill until this morning, but I do that a lot. I just knew I was against the legislation. I'm going to tell you why. For the last couple of years, ever since the legislature got rid of the residency requirement, quite a few St. Louis police officers live in my district now. I'm here to represent their views. And I have not had one police officer, not one, tell me that this is a good idea.
Likewise.
I went to Arch Madness this past weekend to watch my alma mater, Missouri State, unfortunately lose. And
that was a tough
now they're not going to get into the tournament. Looks like they're the first team out. But when I go into the city of St. Louis at events and I see police officers, I make it a point to go up to them and introduce myself and not tell them where I am on the issue and just ask them what their thoughts are. Again, not one police, St. Louis City police officer has told me that this is a good idea. And this affects them. And I do appreciate the senator from the 4th. I consider him one of my good friends up here. I know his heart's in the right place. We're just not going to agree on this issue. And he has come a long way from bills in the past. Last year, he even agreed to collective bargaining and binding arbitration for the police officers. I don't see that in this bill this year. Maybe that's another amendment that we should offer. But I don't know if other people are wanting to talk on this, but why don't I go visit with
I'm going to inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President?
Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 1st.
May I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. President.
He does proceed.
Senator. I just had a feeling that you might have another thought that
yes,
you wanted
I
to
do.
Convey to me.
I do. I just wanted to just get one little thought out on the table for everyone listening on the internet or through the press, whatever. A little bit ago, I related the story of the police officer who testified in our committee about an obvious incident of corruption, purely obvious. And there was the name of a St. Louis alderman on a business card. And I have heard not one word of anything about this in the press. And so I have to ask you, when things like that happen, what's your expectation of follow-up? I mean, if that really did happen, don't you think that some senior member of the St. Louis Police Department or perhaps somebody in the Board of Aldermen, perhaps the mayor, or even perhaps a member of the media would go to that police officer and ask, what was the name on the card? And maybe find out the person who said that and interview them and investigate. Don't you think that that's important enough when a police officer testifies in a Senate committee that there would be some follow-up? What would be your expectation, Senator?
You'd think you'd at least see a story about that.
You would think that you would see some investigation. Somebody like,
we are going to find that police officer, and we're going to look up his report, and we're going to find out who the street vendor was, and we're going to interview that person, and we're going to find out exactly what's going on. Take his deposition and find out who was the name on the card. Don't you think? That's all I really wanted to say, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it.
Senator from the first. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? The senator from the fourth.
To inquire, Senator from the first.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. I'm looking at your... I saw what you had added under Section B, and I was under the impression that that was the total of the substitute, but I noticed Section 1 with the underline, and you're making everything in the Act non-severable?
Correct.
Do you think that could be problematic?
In what way, Senator?
In that maybe somewhere down the line there could be a violation of what, after St. Louis already gets control of its police department, and there is a violation of one of these articles. Now we're going to avoid the whole thing, and so then we won't have local control of the police department. Do you think you're making a bigger mess?
So what you're asking me is, or what you may be leading, and maybe I'm wrong here, but so you're saying if the city of St. Louis turns around after this bill goes into law and sues the state, that there could be some fallout from the decision of that suit, and you know, as far as striking down one of these provisions in here, that it would strike down the whole thing.
That's my concern. We could very well pass into law this bill, and it provides for the appointment of those county offices. And we pass into law, then we disband all the organization of the police department. We disband the Board of Police Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Someone files a suit and says, well, that provision doesn't belong in this act at all.
Right.
And they prevail. Now what do we have?
Well,
we've got a police force with nothing in take.
Well, we would be back to where we are currently, and I guess the governor would have to scramble a little bit and appoint a commission again.
And
I mean, that would work, wouldn't it?
I don't think that would. I mean, we would already have started, or if not started, completed the consolidation of the police department in the city. Now, if we're going to come back and say, you got to undo all that, I got to believe that's pretty short-sighted.
What type of consolidation would we be doing to the police department?
Well, I mean, human resources, information technology, government relations. There's a whole list of them on the fiscal note. Those can all be consolidated. There's seven or eight of them. That's my concern about your non-severability clause. If someone were to file suit, and they were to prevail, we'd have a huge mess.
I don't know, Senator. I don't know if I agree there'd be a huge mess. I mean, the idea of so walk me through what we're talking about as far as consolidation and what we're going to do. Is that where the savings that you've talked about?
Yes, sir.
Which are what, about $3 to $5 million?
I think just over four right now, and that's conservative.
Right. Okay.
Hold on.
And how many people does that entail?
How many FTEs?
Yeah.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. I've got a list of them here. Just the police commissioners themselves cost $250,000 a year to operate that board. Human resources, $767,000. IT, $1.3 million. Legal, $200,000. Internal audit, $100,000. Their own budget division, $560,000.
Right.
All those could be consolidated into existing city services.
So I guess the idea that we do away with those, right?
Yep.
You're going to dissolve those into the current infrastructure that's already there.
Yep.
And then this is found unconstitutional, or the idea that they sue, okay?
Not only this,
right.
Any part of this.
Right, right. So what you're saying is that there'll be a total mess if we have done away with these other areas.
I am concerned that we would have gone from a challenging consolidation into chaos.
Yeah, I just don't see that, Senator. I just don't see that type of folding in of those current resources into the current infrastructure, that if we had to undo that, we could characterize it as chaos. We might have to, scramble a little bit, but I don't think I'd have the same concern.
In the end, I think we're both talking about the welfare of the public.
Right.
And what I've tried to do is to maintain an orderly transition. We're leaving ourselves wide open here to avoid that orderly transition. And I don't think you nor I want to make that gamble with the public safety.
Right. Well, I think that if somebody were to sue on this, who knows whether they'd be successful or not. But, that's a process that's going to take some time, isn't it, to go through?
Oh, yeah.
Probably years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, I don't think we have an emergency or opportunity for a crisis here, Senator. I think that it'll all work itself out in the wash.
You don't live in the city, do you?
I don't. No, but I represent part of the city.
Do you work in the city?
No, I work in Jefferson City and in the first. I have an office in the county. Yeah.
How much time do you spend in your district in the city? May I ask?
The last 3 out of 4 weeks, I spent almost all day Friday visiting charter and pilot schools in the city. I spent a fair amount of time.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going. I mean, this is public safety of the residents and of the people that live and work.
This last Friday, I met for an hour and a half with the mayor's chief of staff.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't get invited to that.
Well, it's his fault.
Okay. I'm just reluctant to gamble with the public safety of my residents. I'm going to inquire. Would you be open to an amendment to remove that section?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 13th district in St. Louis County, for what reason you seek recognition?
Quire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, you yield.
Yes.
He does proceed.
I just walked in. Where are we at?
On his substitute, the top of page 17.
Do you have an amendment pending, or are we
dealing with
the substitute?
No, I'm going to go ahead and take it.
And just vote the substitute up or down?
Yep.
And basically, the substitute creates all these other hurdles?
Well, what the substitute does is it...
I'm going to put things in perspective real quick for you and let everyone vote on this.
Okay.
Okay. I've served in this body. This is my 21st year. I have to admit, I think the one issue besides right to work I'm most tired of hearing about is local control. You have all these former mayors that come up and say, I'm elected the mayor. That means I'm the CEO of the city. Can I have the control to operate the government as this elected official?
if these individuals, whether they be the police or the firefighters, don't like what the mayor is doing, run a candidate, beat and put your candidate in as mayor. But if we continue to operate governments with state input of how they operate locally, it is just total micromanagement that continues to pursue, in my opinion, complete chaos. All I mean is when you elect people to run governments, let them run governments. If you have problems with how they're running governments, let's do it the old-fashioned way. Run a candidate against them, beat them, and put somebody in who will listen to them. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the senator from the first substitute? Senator from Jefferson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Well, let's see. I'll inquire the senator from the first.
The senator from the first, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I'm waiting on an amendment to be drafted.
Oh, that's right.
So,
oh, you know, Senator, while we're waiting.
Some time.
Yeah, while we're waiting. And maybe the senator from the fourth ward.
You know, the example that the senator from the 13th just gave, if this bill passes, those local law enforcement people couldn't get behind a candidate
in its current form, right?
As mayor.
Right, right. I wanted to address the senator from the fourth's concern about chaos. You know, it's my understanding that the way that this legislation works is that there are going to have to be a number of charter changes, okay, that will take a number of years to go through the process, okay, because you can only have one charter change on the ballot at a time, is my understanding. Now, you know,
I don't know.
You can correct me, but this idea that, you know, if a part of this is challenged and then, you know,
that a certain number of aldermen have to vote in favor of a charter change to put before the voters? My county, Jefferson, they just adopted a charter. They have their first ever county council. And the way our charter is written, if there's going to be any change to the charter that the voters adopted, they need 4/7.
Right.
They may
have that provision, Senator, but what I'm doing through this piece of legislation is pushing the process along.
Does this go right to a vote of the people of the city of St. Louis, or do the Board of Aldermen have to put this issue before the voters? And the reason I ask that is we're reducing the number of people that are going to be on the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis.
Correct.
Why would they put something before the voters that could be their own job?
Well, what this would do is, as I believe, it would direct the Board of Aldermen. You know, it would be coming from the General Assembly. As I've always said in this body, that local municipalities are creatures of the state. So we're directing through our power and authority over them to do this. Okay, but it still has to go through in front of the people.
Right.
Okay, and the people have to vote for it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if the Board of Aldermen, you know, it's much like the bill
that was filed to reduce the
I think that's
my bill.
That's your bill.
Yeah.
It actually makes a lot of sense. We have, I think, the fifth biggest General Assembly in the country.
I think the fourth. Fourth largest
in
the country.
6 million people in the state.
Right.
The number of legislative districts, even Senate districts, probably ought to be reduced to 30. 30 and 100. That's what states of our similar size have.
Right. Right.
Our local paper is actually doing an editorial on this, I think.
The idea is that, you know, you want to have representation, but you should be able to, as a senator or as a representative, you should be able to manage, you know, a certain size of constituency.
You know, there's a composite in my office of my grandfather, who was a state representative in 1941. He served for 1 year. He's 24 years old. After the invasion of Pearl Harbor, he resigned and went and joined the Navy. You should come in and look at this composite and the number of state representatives from the city of St. Louis on it compared to today.
Wow.
I mean, every city of St. Louis, city of St. Louis, city of St. Louis, city of St. Louis, city.
Well, in 1950, they had 850,000.
And I would venture to guess in 1941 there was more than that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where that amendment's at, but...
Looks like they're making progress.
Yeah. What else is going on?
I don't know. I'm getting a little hungry. It's getting towards lunch. How about yourself?
At a sub shop from... the Hawaiian from the sub shop there on Missouri coming for me.
The governor and the first lady did a nice job last evening, didn't they?
Always. Yeah. Very elegant woman.
Yes. And
my wife always enjoys coming up for that. And I saw you this morning in the elevator. Like me, or like my wife, your wife will not stay at your residence up here when she comes to visit. You have to get a hotel room.
Well, she, you know, I have two roommates that are representatives, and you know, having three guys in an apartment,
right,
with one bathroom, you know, it's a,
well, she,
it's a pretty scary
thing.
She told
me that she has to take a shower after she takes a shower in my place up here. That was a nice event last night. We ate bison.
Missouri bison, right?
Right.
That was an interesting thing, that we have actually, I guess, on state-owned property, we have a herd of bison.
I think that's the senator from Lawrence's district.
It is. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So...
I think the senator from the 14th...
You'd like to hear a funny quote?
What's that?
You'd like to hear a funny quote?
A funny quote? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes, when I die... I'd like to go like my grandfather, peaceful in his sleep, not like the other three passengers in the car.
Was that on his, that wasn't on his tombstone, was it?
No, he didn't go that way.
All right, okay.
You know, he died 17 years ago, I was 21, and he had Alzheimer's. He had it very... very bad, but my grandmother has Alzheimer's now, and it's funny how that disease affects people differently.
Hmm.
My grandfather, when he had Alzheimer's, he was the happiest guy I think I'd ever met. And he was like that once he had full-blown dementia. Now, my grandmother, she had 10 kids, always the happy-go-lucky woman. She's now in Del Mar South, which is probably your district.
In my district, yeah.
She has Alzheimer's. It's affected her completely different. She's angry. She doesn't want anybody to come by and see her. You know, it's pretty sad. And 2 weeks ago, her roommate ran over her leg with her wheelchair and basically pulled the calf muscle completely off to the bone where it was pretty brutal. Mm. And at her tender age...
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's probably going to be the part that takes her health downhill. So, but I did community service at Del Mar Gardens for high school credit hours.
Did you?
Yeah. At St. Pius, where I went to school, you had to do 40 hours of Christian service, they called it. It was basically community service.
And my grandma Lemke was in Del Mar South.
Was she?
Yeah. She.
Do you remember the old coach, Rich Grauer, that coached St. Louis University?
Yes.
Through the probably 50s, 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, maybe not that far ago, but my grandmother moved from the retirement side to the nursing side, and she lived across the hall from Rich Grauer's mom.
Okay.
I don't know if you care about that or not.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me Rich was in there.
No,
that can't be right.
No.
No, okay.
They're mingling around over there like something is going on.
So, Senator, what your amendment would do, again, for those in the body that maybe haven't been paying attention, it would allow for, it's going to change in the underlying,
yeah, maybe that's what we'll
substitute.
Do. We'll talk about that,
yeah,
while we wait.
It's going to allow for them to be able to...
And then this second. Is that the...
Thank you, Senator. Good. Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from the fourth.
Mr. President, would you please put this bill on the informal calendar?
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar with the Senate substitute pending. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the Secretary of State? And if there are, I would ask that it be read.
We do have messages from the Secretary of State, and the Secretary shall read that message.
To the Secretary of the Senate, Ms. Terry Spieler, Jefferson City, Missouri. Madam, I, Robin Carnahan, Secretary of State of the State of Missouri, hereby certify that at the special election held in the 9th Senatorial District in the State of Missouri on the 22nd day of February 2011, as provided by law, the following named person was elected to the office of State Senator, 9th Senatorial District, as shown by the election results certified to this office by the election authority of the 9th Senatorial District. Name, Shalon Kiki Curls, 1909 Myrtle Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri, 64127-3407, Office, State Senate, 9th Senatorial District. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and affixed the seal of my office this second day of March, 2011. Robin Carnahan, Secretary of State.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Would the newly elected senator from the 9th District approach the dais so that I may give her her oath of office?
I need to write red on here.
Would you please raise your right hand and repeat after me? I, state your name.
I, Shalon Kiki Curls.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the State of Missouri.
And the State of Missouri.
And faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And that I will not knowingly,
and that I will not knowingly,
receive directly or indirectly,
receive directly or indirectly,
any money or other valuable thing,
any money or other valuable thing,
for the performance or non-performance,
for the performance or non-performance,
of any act or duty,
of any act or duty,
pertaining to my office,
pertaining to my office,
other than the compensation allowed by law,
other than the compensation allowed by law.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Welcome, Senator Curls, to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
I speak on a point of personal privilege.
You may proceed.
Mr. President, we appreciate the family and those supporters of the senator from the 9th. Many of us in this body know the new senator from the 9th, and we all know her to be a very warm and sincere and committed public servant. And in this very difficult time, we need good people in the Senate. And I think my colleagues will find, from her experience in the House, her sincerity, her honesty, her warm heart, that that's what Missouri needs right now. So it is my privilege to welcome the senator from the 9th to the Missouri Senate, who will be an advocate for her district, an advocate for children and families, and an advocate for the Kansas City area, and most importantly of all, our friend, and an advocate for Missouri.
Thank you for those words, Senator. The President would recognize the Senator from the 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of introduction of special guests.
We are on the order of business of introductions of special guests. The President would recognize the Senator from the 9th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President,
To my left and to your right, I would like to introduce a number of family members and friends that are here in Jefferson City today. I am so blessed and humbled to be able to have them here today. I'd like to introduce my family, my dad, Darwin Curls, my daughter, Michaela Curls, my son, James, my mom, Sandra Curls. Maybe they've stepped out for a moment. I apologize. My mom, Sandra Curls, my brother, Lenny, and his family, Norma and the kids there, my aunt, Melba Curls, former Senator Mary Groves Bland, our county legislator, Bishop James Tyndall. Thank you. My cousin Monica Curls, my cousin Monique and Londale Jamerson. I know this is getting lengthy. Isn't it?
Well, go right ahead, Senator.
But anyway, but I certainly like to acknowledge my family, my other friends, and those that have come down. So thank you all very much for being here with me today.
Would the Senate take the time to please recognize the family of the senator from the 9th and thank them for joining the senator in this very special day? We are on the order business of introductions of special guests. Seeing none, the Senator from St. Charles 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send that report forward. And, Madam Secretary, please read the reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 284, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 219 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 207 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 61 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senate is on the order of business of announcement. Announcements. Seeing none, the Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion by the Senator from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall be in recess until 3 p.m. this afternoon.